need to say something to this, Mark?
Mike, I messaged you.
Did you say what the night after the meeting is?
I did.
Alright.
Let's report the day of the calendar.
Yeah, okay.
Alright, you got the flag.
Thank you, John.
Big flag.
A very big crowd.
Alright, so where's my agenda? Alright. We'll call to order the public meeting of the OSSI Board of Directors. It is 7:04. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Can you start?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thanks. And for posterity, this is May 16th, 2018. Thank you, Dr. Neff. We'll start with a copy approval, review and approval of the minutes of the last meeting. So if everybody could take a look at that. What? Right, but I'm gonna, because there's so many people here.
That's the connect.
Right, he says we should do this first, but whatever. This will take time. Okay. I figured because there's so many people in here, I want to get everybody in there. Anybody have any changes, additions, deletions, anything? Okay, we need a few more minutes. I told Abby my favorite line of this one. That will remain unchanged.
Yeah.
All right, so do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Second?
I second.
All right, Mike and Mike.
Good morning. Not anymore.
All right, there's a motion to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously.
I'll get the minutes from all of the
minutes. Minutes from just this one.
April 18th.
April 18th, 2018. Okay, so now we'll look at the draft minutes from May 14th, 2018. Anybody have any additions, comments, deletions? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I so move.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And just before we get to Dr. Nick.
And the sixth.
I know.
Okay, we're going a little bit out of order. These are minutes from May 6th, 2018. Does anybody have any changes, additions, or deletions? Anything?
No.
Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of May 6th, 2018?
So moved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any more?
No.
I've been busy.
Not this time.
Just so that everybody knows, my name is Joe Walkett. I'm the Vice President of the Board of Directors. Demetri Danilos, the President of the Board of Directors, couldn't be here tonight. He's out of town, so he asked me to step in under the bylaws. So with that, Dr. Nick.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for coming out. We have a busy agenda tonight with public recognition, and it's that time of year when there's a tremendous amount of events going on and lots of excitement, and I appreciate those of you that took the time out of your busy schedule to come here tonight to be recognized in front of our school board. With that being said, typically we start with the youngest first, so I'd like to call Dr. Walmsley up to present some awards for the Delaware Council of Teaching of Mathematics.
Good evening, everybody. So I got Preston Henderson coming up and Cameron Hinkle, please. This is Preston, this is Cameron, okay, and our families are both here in attendance. So, congratulations.
Five opportunities up here.
Before we can take a picture, let me tell you a little bit about it. Preston Henderson and Cameron Engel both created a poster that was selected as a regional winner by the Delaware Council of Teachers of Mathematics annual poster conference. And this is a contest that is not just charter schools, it includes all districts, private schools. They're all invited to put a poster into the potential winning lottery, so to speak. The poster is currently on display at Wilmington University Dover campus. This is a tremendous accomplishment for both boys, and they're invited to an evening next week where the statewide winners will be announced. All the regional winners are invited, and next Tuesday, May 22nd, from 6 to 7 at Wilmington University, they'll have a chance to celebrate their accomplishment again, as well as the state winners will be announced, and hopefully their winning poster will be announced as a statewide winning poster. So, congratulations to both these guys. I have certificates for both of you. So, Preston, there's yours. And Cameron. Now we're ready for a picture. I think the guys have
Say TV. Not Evan.
Good job, boys. Congratulations. Preston is in Miss Mound's class. Who's here? Miss Mound. And Cameron is in Miss Rick's class. I know she's nice to see her here. And also, too, special thank you to Nikki Tansel. Nikki is our second grade Greek math teacher. She kind of coached the boys up and kind of encouraged them to put the poster up into the contest. So great job by everybody. I'm going to turn it over at this point to Zach P. here, and he's going to announce the next award. along with some other exciting news, right, Zach? Thank you, everybody.
So, I'm just up here really quick because we did an amazing job for Jump Rope and Hoops for Heart. We were actually the top fundraiser in the state. I actually just talked to the liaison yesterday, so we weren't officially able to claim it before, but we're able to claim it now. So, yay, congratulations. Yeah. Honestly, like, $16,850.50, and Parker Cup was actually $1,000, $1,005 for that. Her mother, her family, I coordinated this with Sophia Bonifano, our new health and PE teacher, 3rd through 6th, but this is not me. This is just a testament to how the parents at Odyssey, the community at Odyssey, the kids obviously too, we all work together to help our kids grow, appreciate, and I am so proud of all the children, and very much of Parker. So Parker, we present you this award of recognition for a top fundraiser in the school, the Odyssey Charter School. All right, great job. Let's get a quick picture.
Here, don't good
job.
Great job, and thank you, Zachary, for your work with Jump Ropes for Hearts. Terrific job. So we also have a couple of other to go. Please bear with me. At this time, I'd like to ask Stephanie Beckel to come up and present the next award. Stephanie is our upper school dean, intermediate school dean. Pick the flavor of the day. So would you please?
I have some folks from third grade here. Last two Fridays ago, the third grade Greek teachers put on our first Greek wax museum. So the students in third grade all took on a role of somebody famous in history. The students, some of them were dressed up. They all had a sash with a little green button up top. And the guests got to walk around, push their button, and hear them talk about their famous person in Greek. So I'm going to invite Kitty Maria, Kitty Avikia, and Kitty Osianis up here, along with our third grade friends. And they're going to do a quick little Greek wax museum for you tonight.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for inviting us to come tonight. We created the first wax museum. And the reason why is we're working closely with Julia Marina and the Common Core Centers. And we, one of the centers is that they have to learn about informational text, and one of them is biographies. So we decided to combine the two and create a wax museum where students learn about famous people in the world and how they affected our lives, their contributions. And it is how by learning that for them, to set their goals higher even than those people. So we came up with a wax museum. Okay?
So tonight with us we have Michael Federico, who is Neil Armstrong, Shay Burns, she's going to be Marie Curie, Nadia Padovani, she's going to be Lascarina Bubulina, Sabina Iliadi, she's going to be Ifatia, or Ifatia, in English. And Simon Grandiotis, he's going to be Alexander the Great.
Stand still. Okay.
Can we have someone, since they're wax figures? I'm not going to say anything until somebody comes and pushes their money.
My name is Neil Armstrong. I was born in the Soviet Union. I am a Russian. Είμαι ο πρώτος Αμερικάνης αστροναύτης που πήγε στον πειρά.
Μπράβο.
official.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
Melena Marie Kevin, Jenny Capto, Tia Autocosia, Fina Fast, Vilma Nostia, Tia Natalisa, Togario, Petit, Artist. Μελένε Μπουμπουλίνα, γεννήθηκα το 1971. Είμαι η γνωστή γιατί έδωσα τα λεφτά μου και τα πλοία μου στην ελληνική επανάσταση του 1821. Μελένη Ιπατία, γεννήθηκα το 1970 μετά Χριστού. Είμαι γνωστή γιατί ήμουν η πρώτη γυναίκα μαθηματικός στην ιστορία.
Μελένη Μέγα Αλέξανδρο, γεννήθηκα το 1956 π.Χ. Είμαι γνωστός γιατί διέδωσα τον ελληνικό πολιτισμό σε πολλές χώρες.
Certificates, get a quick picture.
Anybody else want to go? Mike? Want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I brought. I brought.
I'll end up there.
Oh, yeah.
Late.
One, two, three. My wife's talking well, sorry. Let's have another round for everybody. This is really awesome to get to see the kids, and sometimes it can be the best part of our board meeting and giving you an opportunity to see the wonderful things that our teachers are doing with our young people in the classrooms, and without them we'd be nowhere, and we thank all of our staff that are here tonight that came out. Families, if you want, you can do group photos outside with her in the back wall with your children, but we've got a couple more to go. Thank you for coming. At this time, we're progressing by grade level, and so I'd like to invite Laura Thompson to come up and discuss the Odyssey of the Mind Awards and call whoever made it tonight to be here. Thank you, Laura.
Hi everyone. At a PTO meeting, you have heard a couple of our team members be able to present about Odyssey of the Mind, and we've brought almost our whole team tonight. So I'm really excited to bring them up. Come on up, guys. Come on. They're seventh and eighth graders in the Odyssey of the Mind team. I've been a coach for Odyssey of the Mind for 5 years now, and have been able to see these kids grow over time. We have original members. Of course, this is my son, so you know, quite a while there. But then we have all the way up to brand new this year, Kira. So we have a variety of levels of membership and experiences with Odyssey of the Mind. I'd like them to share with you just a couple of words about their Odyssey of the Mind experience. Maybe you describe for them kind of what it is.
So Odyssey of the Mind is where you work with your team to put on a skit to complete the problem or prompt given to you that, well, you choose it from a list that was recently sent out, actually. So it's sent out after the world's competition, and it progresses from regionals to states to worlds, and in worlds, I think there's, how many countries?
It's international. The whole world can show
multiple up. Countries, and there are pin collectors at Odyssey of the Mind, and you can get the pins from different countries at once. Okay. So there's like two problems. There's a long-term problem that we work on throughout the whole school year, and it's like a skit that we have to solve a problem. And then there's a there's a spontaneous problem where it's like a question right on the spot that you have to answer. And usually, like, if you do well in one of them, you can usually make it on to the next. But if you don't do too well in one of them, you have to do, and like, don't do well in the other, you might, like, come down in the ranking of Odyssey of Mind.
The long term is where you present a play that is like the answer to the question, and you present it from like all kinds of judges and people. And then the spontaneous is like what Noah said, it's a it could be hands-on verbal or verbal.
Since they kind of already explained what it is, like my experience is like really fun. You get to like hang out with friends and like just like do all this fun creative stuff for your mind and like kind of distracts you from school.
There you go. That's always a good thing.
You can like make your own props and make your own set, and you can make your own characters and costumes, and it's really fun. And you get to spend a lot of time with your friends.
And the problems, there are five different problems. I have some co-coaches out here and very supportive parents. I'll see you in my... There are five different problems and a sixth for primary kids, so K through two can also participate. This year we did have two teams from Odyssey. It changes each year, but we're hoping that we'll have more go with us so that we have a big representation at Odyssey of the Mind next year. But they had the opportunity, they had chosen to do the problem number three this year. And out of the five, the very first year we chose the automobile problem. They had to build a car that was large enough for someone to ride in and needed to be self-propelled. So it was really interesting, and do all these tricks and things like that too. And then the second year we tried the car again, but that time they changed it to little bitty cars. They had to do several tasks. Noah built a ramp for one of them, for instance, and we had a former member who built a wind-propelled car also, so that was really interesting. And then the next year we chose the technical one. They decided they wanted to do the technical one, where there are all these issues, and they had to go fishing for a character who refused to be caught, but you had to almost catch it, but not quite catch it, and you had to have all these other things, and you couldn't even touch it, and there were all these issues. But we did make it to states that year. That was really good. And we took third in states, first in regionals, third in states, not too bad. And then we last year we tried the classics, and that was problem three, so they're kind of finding where they are. And 2 years ago, they were able to create clay sculptures and watercolor painting. Where's Mr. McCullough? He knows. He was a special guest for us to help us learn about the technique, things like that. It's really neat. And then this year, they tried the classics again.
And we got second at regionals. And didn't place at state. Still did fairly well. I think the judges liked our performance.
Yeah.
And then, the thing that I liked the best, though, is when they took second, or when they did not place at states, and we found out that we did not place at states, I was walking behind them as we were walking out, and they said, "We still did a great job. We still did a great job." And they want to come back next year. So what else can you say? Tonight they brought the trophy because they want to present it to the school this evening as well. So. Oh my gosh. That's it. I'll get
that
short person in the back.
This will go in the
yearbook.
Yeah, we'll go
in the yearbook. 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know where I
went. Thanks again. Congratulations.
Well done.
Okay, so I think you can, we have a couple, one more to go, and I just want to say that I think this gives you a flavor of the quality of learning that's taking place with our students to come up and, number one, be able to speak in front of a crowd as a young person is a pretty demanding, a challenging thing, and we're finding that our young people, with the teaching that they're receiving and the support from their families, are gaining enough confidence to be able to do these kinds of things and express their ideas in a very positive and coherent fashion. So I thank you all. It's a difficult thing for young people to do to speak to a whole room of adults, but you did wonderful. So thank you. And I'd like to call our dean from the high school, Ashley Sorensen, up for our next presentation. And Dr. Marina.
Yes, Dr. Marina's coming as well. And I'd like to call Alyssa on up as well. You may join us up here. So, fresh off of being inducted for the NHS today, Alyssa is also our candidate who has been selected to go to the Harvard Summer Program in Greece this summer. So she will be spending 2.5 weeks in Greece, Dr. Marina can talk a little bit more about it.
Okay. For the first time, we had this opportunity to send a student from Odyssey from the United States. It's actually the first time the United States is sending a student to Center for Hellenic Studies in Athens, Greece, which is actually in affiliation, in cooperation with Harvard University. So they have accepted our proposal to admit one of our students. So 3 students applied. Internally, we had more candidates. So we selected 3 of them, and we sent them as 3 candidates to apply for the scholarship. Alyssa was the one who was finally selected, and we are very proud of you, and we are very happy that you made it, and we are looking forward to you coming back and share with the rest of the school, with us, with the teachers, and mainly with the students, your experience, which I'm sure is going to be positive. She's going to attend 3 weeks of classes. Good luck. And she's going to have excellent time after that, we know that, so she's going to go swimming and some sightseeing, and she's going to spend a weekend in Athens, so we envy you for that.
Thank you. Yay,
thank you.
Thank you, Nick. That, I disagree with you. This is my favorite part of the whole meeting. This is incredible. It really is. So that's taking care of that. Monthly financial review, Renee.
Yes. So we are going to review the month of April. So we're going from April 30th, which is 10 months into the fiscal school year. We're 83.33% away. Looking at the revenues, the final budgeted revenues were $25,236,348. The revenues collected to date were $24,773,138. And this represents 98.2% of the total final budgeted revenues for this fiscal year. At this point in the year, we're kind of winding down, so we're just collecting miscellaneous local interest, food service, aftercare, student body activities, tenant revenue, and capital campaign. And we won't see much change there in the next 2 months as we wind down. So moving on to your expenses. Unless you have questions? Okay, moving on to expenses. The final budgeted expenses are $22,292,892, and this includes the contingency. Expenses to date are a little over $18 million, with outstanding encumbrances of $93,450, and this represents 81.3% of the budget. And just taking a look, in March it was a 3-month pay period. In April we moved back to a 2-month pay period, so that's where you'll see just some of the trends down in the salaries and so forth. Other professional services is just normal consultants, and as you move down, you might see a slight savings in custodial services because we brought one of the buildings in-house now with our part-time staff. So you'll see a little bit of savings there. So the salaries will continue to trend through the remainder of the year as expected. You'll see building improvements, which comes out of the capital campaign in April. That was for the elevator. That was two draws for that. Cash flow went up a bit. We're not spending as much because we're winding down at the end of the school year. And we're seeing what we've been expected to see based on all of our monthly overviews. And that's it before we move on to the web report, unless anybody has any questions.
Renee, could you explain the on the fleet rental, the jump between all the months up till now in May and June? See how it goes in the 141 and 141 in May and June for fleet rental? See that? Could you explain that?
Fleet rental includes the bus, the
okay.
buses.
Is there a reason why those expenses are much higher than any other months?
We just purchased five new buses, right? Six.
Okay.
So that you're seeing that reflected in that.
So that's when those payments will be made?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a question about the payments to Ithaca, the Ithaca project. Now, I know that we gave money towards Ithaca, but when do we expect to get paid from that? And given the email that they want to continue building, are we funding that, or do we know what's going on with that?
So the understanding was that it was the board had approved a specific amount. We are just under $100,000 that Odyssey has lent to
okay.
that project that is expected to be paid back once they open and start collecting revenue,
generating
revenue.
Okay.
And the opening was delayed a year, so that might be the next year.
All right, so 2019? Okay.
That's my understanding, yes.
Do we have any idea of how many people expressed interest to the point that we could be thinking that they were going to enroll in the program? I mean, I haven't heard how close to the mark we are.
I would be glad to speak to that. So as mentioned in the email that was sent out, part of the challenge that we have with that project is balancing the many different threads that we ran in parallel to be able to open in the fall of 2018. We needed to have of the 160 seats that was capacity for phase one, about 100 seats committed by what we're calling early adopters. And early adopters are those families that are seeing a project being built and willing to make a commitment to the opening in the fall. We achieved about 25% of that, so we got 25 families, 25 children. There were some families that had a couple of children, and so we had 25 children that had submitted, or families that committed their children as early adopters. part of the challenge that we have is that we know, based on data that we have collected externally, that even when you have a center with enrollment of about 60, 70 kids, it is a deficit operation if you want to deliver a quality operation. Now, that's one of the things that happened with our St. Thomas tenant. They were down to 50, 60 students, and they couldn't maintain a viable operation. It's the same thing with Eastside Charter that has a pre-K program, 3 and 4, about 60 children. And they have a foundation, educational foundation, that writes a reasonably big check to them every year, in addition to the revenues and the fees that they collect. So what we sought to do is to say, okay, given the commitments that Ithaca, as a tenant, would have to Odyssey, given the fact that we would have to recruit staff, Reggio trained staff, outside of Delaware, because there are no Reggio-inspired programs of this scale, we needed to have the lead time to make all of that happen should we have had the targeted enrollment. You know, given the fact that we did not have the targeted enrollment, we then have flipped the strategy and said instead of running a parallel strategy, we're running a sequential strategy. The idea is to aggressively pursue fundraising now that we have a 501c3. So Ithaca is a recognized public charity. And that's one of the documents that all the foundations and corporations require to do to give donations to nonprofits. We received that at the beginning of April. And so now we're starting to pursue this fundraising. It peaks in September, October. That is going to hopefully drive the answer to your question. No, we would not be using capital from Odyssey to do the construction. And so we would advance the construction and then open up to enrollment when the site is completed. And therefore now parents can see the physical facility where they would be putting their smallest children. And we got a lot of feedback from parents saying, yeah, we love the idea, but we would like to see what the facility looks like. And that makes a lot of sense also, so we wanted to be very mindful of that. I know it's a long-winded answer, but it gives you sort of a perspective around the whole project and where we were with the enrollment.
So can I just follow up, Ricardo, because the school's on an incredibly tight budget. We haven't had raises, staff's working, you know, we're not going to get into all that tonight. But the issue is, was it 160 or is it 60? How many people are we shooting to get into the program? And is that in a business plan? Do we have that we present to people? Because I saw some information printed about it, but I didn't know if we have an actual business plan.
Yes, there are. There is a 6-year projection in terms of projected detailed projections of revenues and expenses. Absolutely, because when you go to childcare licensing, to be licensed as a program, I mean, there are all requirements. You have to present a safety plan. You have to present a facilities plan. You know, all detail, because then they will not only review the application that includes a detailed business plan, and, you know, 15, 20 page business plan needs to be presented. So all of that has been prepared. The only thing is we did not pull the trigger with childcare licensing because we ended up not going to childcare licensing.
So I'm just saying that people, I don't know if it got sent out or not, maybe it did, but
no.
If it did, I didn't see it.
No,
so people were asking.
It has not been made broadly public.
Okay.
And with regards, the total capacity projected for the first floor, when Ithaca will be serving 6 weeks to 5, is 220 students in 16 to 17 classrooms. This first phase of 24 to 60 months would be seeking about 160 children, 16 per classroom with 2 adults in 10 classrooms. And once again, we were not looking to get full enrollment to launch the program. But as I said, the target was not achieved. And we candidly preferred saying, let's delay versus opening up something and seeing track records of small organizations out there and say we may run the risk of repeating history. So, you know, we made a strategic decision of pushing it back. And this has all been considered because I know that Karen, in working with the administration for the budget, the school budget for the coming year, one of the issues was in opening, will it have revenue for the school or not? And the budget that is being developed is not considering any revenue from IFICA at this point.
One thing I'm concerned about is the notion of getting fundraising while Odyssey is trying to establish fundraising. So how do you target different individuals for Odyssey as well as Ithaca?
I think it's an absolutely valid question, and it is a challenge to be faced. What we see is that different funders have different interests. So for example, PNC is committed to early childhood. Most of their funding is in early childhood. Now, they do not fund capital, but they fund early childhood operations. Okay, so that's an example in terms of threading it based on the interest of funders. Now, there are, the other opportunity is that you have independent boards.
Right. Okay,
the two organizations have independent boards.
But
independent,
are they going after the same people?
Well, everybody in Delaware goes after the same foundations. Everybody goes after Longwood. Everybody goes after welfare. And you know, the reality is that one entity may be approved, and you know, the sister entity might not be approved. You know, so Ithaca was not approved this year by Longwood, but was approved by welfare. Okay, so I am not as concerned, because when they look at these and they're independent entities, these entities have to justify. Now, Odyssey has a lengthy history with the major foundations, so it actually has a leg up versus a startup.
But I'm concerned with the fact that if Odyssey's competing for a gym, which we desperately need, or an auditorium or classroom spaces, and Ithaca that has not yet started, that's my concern, is the competition between both parties.
And so that, Tammy, I think needs to be addressed strategically.
Absolutely.
At making sure that the boards are talking and aligning these strategies as much as possible. And then making intentional decisions of, okay, the timing, we go this cycle, because usually most of these foundations have a fall cycle and a spring cycle. And so you can work together in developing the strategy and say, we're not going to go in the fall. We'll go in the spring while you go in the fall, or vice versa.
Yes.
So the important thing is that we have to be talking to the boards. And as the fundraising strategies are being developed, it needs to be altered.
Absolutely.
Some multi-year windows, like Longwood, we applied for a couple years, and obviously got it, and we have to wait 3 years?
Yes. So not 2019, for example, Longwood the Odyssey ask of Longwood is only coming through in 2019 because they considered the release of funds that were in escrow. The $1.4 million that they have been releasing more recently, or better, the investors with the support of Longwood have been releasing from escrow. They've released $1 million of the $1.4 million towards the capital. That was, Longwood looked at that and said that is a release,
yes,
we're giving them. And so please come back in 2019 after
But I want to make sure that Odyssey is not competing against Ithaca, because Odyssey is in desperate need and we are operating now versus Ithaca, who's not operating.
One thing that
yes.
I
Let me just, you know, one thing Odyssey also needs to keep in mind about the importance in working together is that at some point in time, Ithaca will be a tenant, and therefore building its success will in turn benefit Odyssey.
True, but I'm thinking about the small gym mm-hmm. that we don't even have basketball hoops up, that we haven't that are on laying on the floor since January. So I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the gym. I'm worried about my teachers. I'm worried about the classrooms. I'm worried about the pencils that they don't have before we give invest or try to get money for Ithaca. That's what I'm
concerned about. And so, as I said, my recommendation on that is to make sure that the boards or, you know, or a member of the Odyssey board is working with the Ithaca board and discussing how to align to best align the fundraising strategies that overlap.
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely.
I have one other question about the fitting out of Building 27. Is that going to be able to be completed with the funds that were already authorized by the board, or what's going to happen if there's an overrun, or are you going to stop construction if we approach that target fund that the board approved?
Well, the funds that the funds that the board had approved, which ones are you talking about?
The original $100,000 investment.
Well, no, that has been that was approved to develop not the fixed assets, but you know, to develop the tenants, let's call them. Okay. The fixed assets investments that have been made have been exclusively made with $165,000 insurance reimbursement that was received because of the damage of the vandalism that occurred in Building 27.
And is $165,000 going to fit out that building?
No. That's why we have to continue with the fundraising over the summer months. And then, you know, keep in mind that in opening in September of 2019, it does give us somewhat more of a landing strip to be able to pursue census-based conversations with Dimitri. I mean, we're looking at another $700,000 that needs to be fundraised for that to be completed.
Well, I think the concern is what Michael's asking, and I don't want to go too far into this, is we don't have a guaranteed income stream if there's additional expenses associated with the fitting out of that building. We've used the insurance money and we've spent the $100,000 that we were authorized for consulting and so forth and so on. So if I heard the question right, where is the money going to come from if we need more money? Do we have any commitments from any of the welfare or anybody?
Well, welfare has made a commitment, yes, of $100,000. We have a corporate sponsor that is committing somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000 for the retrofit of the kitchen and the cafe space. So yes, the commitments have been coming in. So as we have, the focus short term has been on the enrollment, because without the enrollment, there is no operational, moving ahead. So,
and I would ask my last crazy question on the quiet. Our tenant, who's a couple blocks up the street from us, went out of business because they couldn't fill the seats, right? Essentially. They had a child care, they had been in Center City, Wilmington, and moved to St. Thomas, and within 9 months they were out of business, doing the same, well, a version of the same thing that we're trying to do. Do you have concern, did we ever find out why our tenant went out of business? Or have we, you know what I mean? It's a little concerning, because we're six blocks down the street, we went out of business with the same operation, a different operation, same type of business.
Absolutely, it is the same type of business. I think the big, we know that there is a dearth of high quality early learning services to families in the community. And there are some high end centers like Bright Horizons, and, you know, the Goddard centers, and so on. But they're very pricey. And, you know, so I mean, the vision is to create a center that is very different, because this is the first Regio-inspired platform that is being launched in Delaware at this scale. So yes, is there a concern? Absolutely. But if you go to the Head Start in, you know, on at St. Paul's, it's got a waiting list. If you go to the LACC, it's got a waiting list. Okay, so there are places that have waiting lists, and there are places that are struggling. Now, why they shut down, I really could not answer, because I was not involved in understanding their business model and, you know, what drove, you know, the demise of their operations.
Thank you very much, Ricardo.
Thank you.
Any other questions on Renee's spreadsheet? Do you have any other comments on the legal size?
Just to share the presented year-end cash balance. Without spending the contingency of $378,000 is $3,462,985. Then we can move to the webpage. Monthly financial statement at the top 8.511 from there. We see the same picture here, 98% in revenues, about 81% in expenses to date. The one thing I just was going to point out that you may see the projected totals and some of the expenses are slightly higher. But then there's other projected totals that we won't spend the amount projected. So by the end of the year, they will even out. So we're, you know, we'll save with some and cover the other.
Okay. Any questions on the website sheet?
The only comment that I wanted to add is that we are still working on the budget for next year.
Okay.
We plan to have the an initial review of the board for next month, and then by July to actually have it, the budget for the board to vote on.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Renee. Do I have a motion? What order do we go in? Do we go with the? We just have to approve this one. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the, what do I call it?
Web report.
Did I hear a motion?
George.
So be it.
I know.
That's
proper.
George.
All right,
I second that. Be it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, Renee. Next, Dr. Nick, headmaster's report.
Thank you, Joe. A couple comments just in general. This is my next last meeting with the board, and I did want to appreciate you answering my questions, Ricardo. I think the school was at a particularly challenging tipping point, and I think we have to be exceptionally careful and cautious and hopeful in how things proceed. We've been growing rapidly. We've got a lot of coals in the fire. We've got a lot of concerns in and around the community. And I have always, I've sometimes gotten myself in trouble because I have not been hesitant to ask some difficult questions. And sometimes that's done wonders for my career, and other times it's been a real kick in the pants. But somebody's got to ask some of the questions and engage people as a leader in the building and in the organization. The questions have to be asked, and I gladly tried to do that the last 6 years that I've been in this school. So with that being said, we're at a point where there's a lot of anxiety in our organization, and I just want to report this to the board tonight. Later on tonight, some of the staff are going to probably ask some questions or speak. I have been here 6 years, and I have never witnessed the level of anxiety, of concern about the future. and many other components. For some reason, I don't think I have been able to impress upon this board how important it is that families whose kids come to our school know who's leading the ship and who's setting the course. And this is puts not only our families but our teachers in a very difficult position. And I would say tonight, if Dimitri was here, the same thing. We really need to know how we're moving forward. And I know the board has been trying to navigate that. But what I don't think our faculty is having the ability to understand is why it is taking so long. And we're not quite sure about that. And maybe when the questions come up, we can address that a little bit more. But an organization with 127 people, 150 total, it has to have a recognizable person that's steering the wheel and working with people to answer questions. And as we transition through, my report tonight is going to be pretty brief because, quite frankly, I've handed over almost all of the responsibilities, the committees, the leadership initiatives that I had in place as a team with Denise, to Denise. So I, and in addition to that, I have been excluded from a number of planning committees and activities moving forward. So if you have questions about some of those, we could certainly ask Denise those questions. But the things that I want to report to you tonight are the things that I've been involved in and that I can speak to with a degree of certainty and understanding. So number one, the state auditor's office magically selected Odyssey Charter School to be audited for its September 30th unit count. That's where we had 1,161 students and got approximately $10,000 for each of those students. It seems as though last September and October, when the building wasn't, we were going through that whole process with the buildings not ready, dust everywhere, confusion with movements and so forth and so on. The September board meeting, we talked the increase in enrollment. The October board meeting, we talked the increase in enrollment and the need for waivers. But somehow, with all the excitement going on, we did not take a board vote. So I bring that up tonight because going forward, the board must approve waivers by official vote. So when the auditors came in, I had my minutes that I handed out to the board. I had Ms. Thompson's minutes from the board that where the discussion took place, and we also had the audio that I presented to the auditor to say that we discussed raising the seat count from 22 to 23, and in some cases, 24 students. So the official report came out. I worked with a couple of people at the office, including Tracy, to get revisions in how this report is going to be presented to the public, that we had 25 sections with unauthorized numbers of students in those seats. In fact, we did discuss that. We did agree to it in the sense that nobody objected to it, but we never had a formal vote. So my question to the auditor was, are we going to be penalized? And the answer is no, we're not. But I just have been dealing with that the last couple of days and working our way through the language that's going to come out in the official report. So I think it will be favorable to our board and to our school in terms of we went through those steps that I just discussed, but we're going to get our knuckles scraped on sure. Not having an official board.
So question for you, Dr. Nick. When would that vote need to take place?
It's got to happen, good question, prior to December board meeting.
Okay.
So we discussed it in our October meeting in September, but we actually went through the whole routine with enrollment at the October, whatever, 16th, 18th, I don't remember. But it's on the record.
Okay.
So by December.
Okay, so I guess, and maybe Denise, you can clarify this. So the information that we need to vote on comes out in October?
We'll have it September 30th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay, so then we can do it. Okay, we just need to make a note of that in the future and make sure that that's done.
Noted.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
Dr. Nick, just so I understand, so this, how exactly, because I can't remember what happened last week, to say nothing, October, this happens because we get oversubscribed in some way, either teachers, new teachers coming in and bringing students with them that we might not have factored into.
Yeah, when it had occurred, if you recall, last September, we were quite surprised with our enrollment. We were anticipating, to be very honest with you, we had some deficiencies in the upper grades, and we had a backfill with our strength. So the teachers were not happy with it. We had to make our numbers to pay the bills. So what we did, Denise and I met with Dimitri and Karen, and we agreed to raise the seat count to 1 to 23. And we still weren't getting where we needed to go when we were running out of time. So in some cases, we bumped it to 24. So there's 25 sections across the school, grades K to 3, that have more than 22 students. So if next year the school wants to have more than 22 students in any K to 3 section, we have to have an official vote.
Okay.
But we are at 23 students per section normally. That's our standard enrollment.
And we had done it in the past.
So that's not, that wasn't an anomaly. What happened this year is that in kind of like the midstream years, if you will, 7th, 8th grade, and some other grades, where we could have backfilled earlier in the enrollment
process.
Season, if you will, we didn't. And there was a blind spot there. So which seats are relatively easy to fill in September.
Right.
So that's kind of happening. We won't be looking at 24 students for next year. That was an anomaly. So, and you know, that's off the plate, but we'll still need for the 23 students.
Okay.
We will need to adjust class sizes or just get sort of set with the number of faculty and the number of classes.
Mm-hmm. That's our standard class size in the elementary grade.
So I have a question, but the policy was followed in the sense that you applied, the waivers were applied for, they were granted by the state, and you were just saying that there was never an official vote.
Correct. We actually applied for the waiver. We had the email. That was another thing that should have been put into language as well. We applied for via, there's not a form that you actually fill out. There is a form that the board has to fill out that they voted. But we did apply for the waiver, but it didn't negate, we didn't have a vote.
And that's something we apply for every year.
Yes. Any year you're going over 22, you're going to have it. So that went on. We also had, this is the month where you get your reports. The special education audit was conducted. And I have to explain this to you because I'm not going to be here down the road, and if the questions come up, I want to make sure that we discuss them while I'm here to answer the questions so we can talk face to face. The compliance reporting set looks at 30 items for your special education files across the school. We have 160-ish, 50-ish, I don't even remember the last number, students receiving special services of some type. They come in and they say, we want to see 12 files. We've got 160 kids. We've got an ED at each grade level. So the bottom line is, we had one, so with 12 files, if you have one file out of the 12 is not in compliance, you fail. You can't be compliant.
And they're just randomly picked.
Yes.
Okay.
Compliance is 95%. So I'm like, well, why don't you pick 16 files so if we have one error, we can still make it and, you know, look like we're doing a reasonably good job. To me, it, you know, expecting 100% is, you know, what No Child and all these IDEA is about. But in reality, we had one family that sunk us on this entire audit. Because we're in litigation with the family. Yes. So I can't say it open.
Yeah.
So, but we had one situation where we could not get the documents
across the 30 categories. So we had difficulty with this special education audit.
So who does this audit?
It's conducted.
DOE?
Yes. The Office of Special Education.
Okay.
So it would be DOE corrective action with the special ed unit. And,
okay.
Yeah, we signed off on a corrective action. We're going to be fine, but yeah. I want to make sure that the board heard that this report came out, and it will be forwarded to the board for review. So it's an unfortunate situation, but that's one of those things that occurs. Our special ed people do an outstanding job, and we're happy to have them. And we know what they put into to try to make.
All we can do is learn from our mistakes.
There you go.
That's what I think.
Thank you. And speaking of learning from mistakes, on item number 3, graduation for 8th grade is June 7th. We're thinking alike tonight, Jeff. So I put the 13th.
Okay.
Please cross that out, put the 7th. So it's a big day for our school. We're in the planning. We've got a lot of great things going on that day. We also are soliciting for a new MC for the end of the year celebration, I'm told, but I'm not sure how that's going at the moment. That's on June 8th, and that'll be at the Mill Creek Fire Hall. There's so many things going on. I put the upper school, middle school, lower school calendars for the next 2 weeks on here, and I'll stand down after a lengthy report. But thank you if there's no questions.
No, thank you, Nick. Anybody have any questions, George?
Just to go back to St. Thomas, because you asked a question of why they closed down right after me.
Yes, I did.
I knew I had an email. Low matriculation was the reason, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, George.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. Thank you very much.
Okay.
What's that? Oh, Denise, do you have anything to add to this? No? Okay. Thank you. PTO report, Laura.
At the PTO meeting, there were several things shared. PTO supports a variety of initiatives at OCS here. For instance, providing funding towards signage, getting improved signage around the campus, helping support the garden completion at the school, which I'm really excited about because it's helping us become a green school. Field day shirts, even those, you know those field day shirts that your kids bring home, right? That's from the PTO. And so it's really nice. Even supporting things like mini society, which are in-classroom things that teachers can apply or approach PTO when they need some support for some programs that they'd like to try in their classroom. Their recent fundraisers have gone very well. They talked about Joe Corby, for instance, and talked about the book fair, things like that. The book fair usually results in Scholastic dollars, but they're able to use those dollars from Scholastic to help support getting materials in classrooms, and even looking at ways to help support the Greek teachers with materials as well. The walkathon's coming up, but that's happening during recess time, so that's something that happens during the day. They have Muffins with Mom, which has a little bit of rain issues, but they're making do with that. Donuts with Dad coming up. Dress Down Days help provide money. Great success with Box Tops. Spirit Wear success at the carnival, and the carnival was well attended. And the Staff Appreciation Week that had just happened as well, which was really nice layout, a really nice thing going on. And of course, the big news was there was a new election, of course, which is always big news. And we do have a new president. Kim Frederico is here. And I'm going to put her on the spot just a little bit. Kim, do you have any words you'd like to say or anyone you would like to present or anything like that?
We do have a couple of teachers that are actually going to be in the board as well next year. We have Lisa Friedel and Ms. Downs. And we also have Helen Demansky back, who's going to be the vice president. Nina is going to fail as the correspondent secretary, and we're still working on the treasurer position. But besides that, all the other positions are filled.
Your husband?
I know. Yeah. I keep talking to him. I keep talking
to him. I'm
talking
to him. The Mom is, like I said, we had some rain delays, but we did the one in here today, and I think it went pretty smoothly. I mean, it's great. A lot of the teachers are here. That,
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Paul and all of the staff. Like, they did an amazing job helping us get through this day, and get the parents in and out and had lots of signage for where to go, so it was awesome. It was a great team effort. Tomorrow is going to be in each classroom and in a seated school, so that should run smoothly as well. And the dance was on Saturday, which was also a great success. Everybody got to have a really good time. I think the second dance was a little bit, some of the people did not show up, I believe because of the weather, because when we left, it was hailing. So we had sold the tickets for the people that didn't show up, but it was still a great time.
And it was really nice because they teamed up with National Junior Honor Society as well to be able to reach out for some volunteers because, I'm not sure if I mentioned that, need volunteers and participants. I put in there that they do need several volunteers for the variety of events that they have planned. There's sign-up geniuses that you can go to from the Facebook page, right, and various other communications. For instance, you saw Walter here. He was one of the volunteers, and so was Noah. Noah's in the back. Among other participants, other National Junior Honor Society recognized students as well. So I thought that was a great thing that you reached out to team up, and I think you had a pretty good response from NJHS as well to help out. So it was a great way for the kids to be able to give back to the community too. So it's nice. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Laura, anything else?
Nothing.
Any questions from the board, from the public?
I just want to thank the PTO for all the work they're doing. Yeah. It's really heartening to hear all the activities you guys are doing. It really brings the community together, and I really appreciate your help.
Faculty report, Ms. Solta.
First thing, I just want to thank all the amazing teachers who are here tonight. You taught all day, you're teaching all day tomorrow, and yet you came here, and shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for showing up. We are still testing. We're in the fourth or fifth week of testing. And if you don't know, testing takes up most of the day, most of the week for individual grades. Teachers get displaced because of computer usage, and it's an indicator of how well our school is doing. So again, a shout out to teachers who are proctoring the test, let alone students who sit there for hours on end taking these state tests. As far as a great shout out and thank you to the PTO for the Teacher Appreciation Week. We had a candy bar, we had lunch bags, and most thankfully we had Mr. Softy on Friday. I may have gone for two times. I don't know. I was in an ice cream induced coma. Exactly. But thank you. Thank you so much. Our teachers are in the throes of different activities and field trips. Thankfully, with our new Odyssey buses, which I'm sure we're using every day, there's different activities planned for our students every single day to kind of, especially after testing, to just get them out of the funk. Second grade have chicks. First grade have chicks. So yeah, the chicks have come and they're cute and cuddly. So if you walk in and you see the chicks, you have to cuddle with them because soon they grow up to be weird looking
ugly chickens.
Yes. Mommy's taking a better bath, so I'm like admiring them. I'm like, oh, how cute. So first grade chicks. Our 10th grade had a monumentous thing. Today, we actually had an assembly for our class ranks. So the 10th grade is going to be the first graduating class at Odyssey. Ashley arranged for Jocelyn to come in, and we did the class ring assembly, which was a little tearful because you know that in 2 years, these little chicks are going to fly and be all that. We are, thanks again for the carnival, Kelly, for putting together that carnival that we had. We not only had a large amount of teachers participating in it, but we had a large amount of teachers volunteering. It was so awesome. And if you didn't get to go next year, I'm sure it will be just as well. We're entering into finals and the close of school. And, you know, it's a, how should I put it? It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet and it's very active. So if you come into the school, you'll see us running around like a chicken with our heads cut off.
It's a chicken theme.
Yes, it is. But it's a wonderful thing to kind of get
sponsored by Kentucky Fried.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no. So anyway, yeah, the faculty's ready to wind down.
Thank you, Tammy. Any questions from anybody? I just have two things to add. One, I want to echo Tammy's sentiment that it's great to see a lot of teachers at a board meeting. You would never know it, but the worst thing in the world is to sit here at these tables and there be nobody in those seats. It's boring, and it does the school no good. So it's very heartening to see all the teachers here engaged and involved in this. So thank you very much.
You want to stand up? You want to stand up?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yay! Everybody stand up. And so, Tammy, thank you for adding that.
Yeah.
Also, I think this is the first board meeting after the carnival. Am I right? Was it talked about at the last one? But I would like to say that, Kelly, that was a fantastic carnival that you and I know it wasn't just you. I know there were other people involved, but you're Jack's teacher, so what am I going to do?
No, I'm just kidding.
But I really hope it was beyond my wildest dreams. I know it was beyond a lot of people's wildest dreams, but I think it can be even bigger and better and annual. And this could go on for years and years and years.
Absolutely.
And it's a fantastic thing. How much money did you raise?
Around $13,000.
Wow.
That is a monumental effort. So I thank you. Everybody thanks you and everybody that was involved. I know there are a lot of volunteers there that took time out of a otherwise gorgeous Saturday to come out here. So it was fantastic. Everything aligned, and best wishes for the future. Anything else? Okay. Moving along. Strategic plan committee reports. Michael, we'll go down the line. Anything to report?
I have nothing new that I prepared this report.
That's fine. George?
I'm planning on having a meeting in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
But not doing busy. Hello.
Laura?
No report.
I mean, it looked like there was a pretty lengthy reports from everybody last meeting. I wasn't here, so, but it looks like from the minutes that there was some good progress being made. Abby, Tammy, anything to add?
No.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Unfinished business. Transportation, Evan?
Good evening. I have no chicken jokes, I apologize. I do want to say that we parked over 850 cars on the day of the carnival, and there were a little over 1,700 people that we counted on a baseball counter that day, ones that I could see in cars, because most people and families out obviously drive a minivan. So there were at least three to, I don't know, how many people does a minivan seat? 12?
80.
So I really don't have anybody here, so. I am going to touch on current operations, our fall launch, and our conversations with Red Clay. We are performing a majority of our field trips. In May, we have 19 field trips in 21 school days. Versus our main contractor, First Student, we are showing a savings of anywhere from $30 to $60 per field trip. Versus First Student, which is our main contractor. To note, that money does go back into the pockets of our families. But most importantly, our buses are on time. They're here. They're outside of your building a half hour before you write the time that you need that bus to be there. There's no waiting, there's no calling contractors, there's no saying, you know, we ordered three buses and there's only one bus here, or we ordered three buses and there's no buses here. We met with Don Paoli and Bobby Santos from La Academia to optimize our current parking arrangements for next year. We did finalize those parking arrangements and I'm awaiting a contract. We continue to interview drivers for our waiting list. I got two calls from a contractor, from contractor bus drivers today that I've been looking to interview either Friday or next week. We sent our first driver slash aide to bus driver school, which is a really big thing in Delaware. As you can tell, I'm very excited about it. So we sent our first driver to bus driver school, and she did pass. She will be a future aide and or bus driver if she can pass her bus driver CDL test in the future. But we are looking to hire her as an aide for the upcoming school year. Again, our goal is to have all our drivers hired by the 1st of August. We are currently communicating to parents by phone. So if you are an Odyssey parent and you draw, you ride a school bus, you probably got a call from either myself or one of my bus drivers. We are confirming stops that parents are currently riding right now. We've completed all our 7th through 8th grade phone calls, and we're in the process of calling our K to 6 parents right now. I have received a number of emails. We got a call about, you know, my son, but my daughter's on the same bus too, and we're explaining to them what the operation is going to look like for next year. I do want to talk about daily issues that arise with transportation. You probably don't hear about them anymore, and you don't hear about them because we're making quick decisions and we're executing with either our spare bus or with First Student on a daily basis. And I say that there are issues that arise on a daily basis, and I say that with confidence because we're communicating with parents. And we heard that consistently from our families, that no one was communicating with us. And at the end of the day, it was because we didn't know. But right now, I have a number of parents who call me if there is an issue with their First Student bus, and we either send our sub driver out on time to have those students arrive on time to campus, so they're here or they're home and they're on time and they're safe. So although you may think that you might not be hearing about things on a daily basis, we are troubleshooting that, you know, instantaneously to make sure that you do not hear those issues. For our fall 2018 launch, again, we're expecting delivery on the 13th of August, the 5 new propane buses. A meeting was held recently with our HR department, with academia's HR department, along with building administrators and Bobby Santos, their transportation supervisor, to develop our current driver offer letter for our drivers and aides. We're looking to improve upon that letter and make clarifications to it. We also are going to have final copies to our administration and academia's administration by the 25th of this month. As discussed in the past, we have been talking about split bell schedule. And I do have a copy of that piece of paper, although I'm going to wait till the end to hand that out. I met with Lauren Hinesley and Denise Parks over the past couple weeks to discuss the start times in each building. And that is a split time between K through 6 and 7 through 12. It is not a significant time difference. I also continue to work with our finance department and our consultant to finalize and refine our 2018 transportation budget. To touch on our Red Clay partnership, I've been meeting with Red Clay weekly. And again, we continue positive conversations about what Red Clay and our partnership is going to look like for next year. We are planning to meet in early June and July to talk about what the data and or what numbers could look like. In recent conversations with Red Clay, they're looking to utilize 9 of our 10 buses for next year at Cook Elementary School. Again, it is not finalized, it is not a contract, but it is looking like what their schedule is going to dictate will allow us significant time to utilize our buses. Again, 9 of our Odyssey buses for Cook Elementary School runs. Yes.
And none of those routes will conflict with our routes?
Not at all.
Awesome.
Not at all.
Where's Cook Elementary?
Is Cook going to be a tier 1?
It is.
I'm
going to
get into that when I hand out.
Grace
Road.
Grace Road,
just on the hook.
Okay.
Good.
Oh,
I'm sorry. We're
talking. Okay. There's also continued ongoing conversations about how we can utilize Red Clay can utilize Odyssey as a district and how we can utilize their resources as a district too. There have been other conversations with administrators about things that ways that Odyssey can really profit from a partnership with Red Clay, being that it's the biggest district in the state, so not just on the transportation front. So I do have our tentative start times, which I'm going to have Ms. Parks help me hand out. I will discuss them after you see them. I didn't want to hand this out at the beginning Because you wouldn't listen to anything.
How do you know we're listening anyway? Evan, I do want to say that I was on a field trip recently on one of the Odyssey buses.
Uh-oh.
One of the air-conditioned buses. It was fantastic.
And loud.
And loud, but that's to be expected.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I was cold on a bus.
Wow. One
of the things that we do is we, if a driver is not utilizing one of our air-conditioned buses, we actually swap the bus out in the parking lot to make sure that happens. So it went from, you know, winter to summer pretty quick. So we get to use those air-conditioned buses. So as you look over this document, one of the points that I'd like to point out is specifically 7th through 11th grade will be run solely by Odyssey buses, and K through 6 will be run by First Student buses. 10 Odyssey routes for our 7th through 11th students, and 12 routes for our K through 6 students. In conversations with First Student, the times that we have picked right here will work for First Student. There are some changes that Reggie and his team are making to make sure that our buses, like our Odyssey buses, are arriving on time. Questions? Concerns? Yes.
Just because I live this every day in Carline every morning, you know. Right now, in my opinion, probably others may differ, the staggered times with the intermediate school, lower school, Carline work well. This one is not super staggered, and I'm wondering if there's a reason for that or kind of why it is that way.
So the reason why we look at it this way is because now our 7 through 11 students are first tier. Now when you do drop off, we are looking into a system where parents would use the outer lane, and you would, if you have students in both the high school and the intermediate school, you would be able to drop off both students at the same time.
Right, but so what about for the intermediate school, lower school?
Lower school. Right. It would be the same system where you would go around and you would drop off if you're dropping off if you're dropping off two students, one at the intermediate school and then one at the lower school, yes. We're all going to utilize that same system.
Okay. But you think it'll work with there being not much of a staggering?
So it's not a significant stagger, and the reason why we needed to do that was because of hub stops. And we were, our focus was not to force parents to stay at a hub stop, you know, call it in Bear Library or, you know, at the Hokess and Powell for 30 minutes.
Right.
So that is why it is not staggered in that way.
Okay.
This is the first year I've not had to stay on the line throughout, waiting to turn into the campus and getting cut off.
Right.
I'm concerned that we might go back to that.
Right.
So, two things.
I'm thinking that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awful.
Sure.
This is the first year that it's been fantastic.
Right, it's been good this year. I don't want to lose that.
Now we're going backwards.
So one of the main reasons why it's not going backwards is due to the fact that our bell times differ significantly from Academia's. So Academia is sticking with their start times. So their buses and their parents coming on campus would not interfere with this start time. Their car line opens after our car line has opened. So 8:05 car line would end at the lower school, which is a little bit later. You know, most parents coming through Carline right now, it ends at 8:05 for intermediate school, and at the lower school, it's a little bit later. So what we're looking at is that they're gonna be opening up, and we're in conversations with them to open up a little bit later. Right now, their buses drop off at 8:25, and their Carline opens about 10 minutes before that. So, but they don't have a significant car ridership, but it does add to the traffic on campus.
Any possibility of us aggressively pursue, and don't mind me, I have so many allergies, I'm probably hopped up on Claritin, but opening that other entrance, we need. I think at this point we need to pursue.
I'll tell you, I'm the first one to say I would love to open that other entrance.
I think
which one are you talking about?
The one by the vet and...
No,
yeah,
on Lancaster.
Yeah, I think we need to start to aggressively.
But it starts with the insurance, right? Like,
Come on!
She's not quite sure.
I know.
I've heard of it.
But I believe that's where we're at.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Permits and construction.
I mean, I think there are some pretty big hurdles.
Especially with construction, though, going on, maybe. You start to pursue those hurdles.
Mm-hmm. So, I can't talk about that event. John Stewart will touch on that.
Open it. Just open it.
But we're just going to open it. We're just going to push the dirt over. Well, that's going to go on tomorrow. To touch base on the way traffic flow changed this year is we created traffic windows, and we're going to do that again for next year. Not only is it going to be on your car line maps, but it's also going to be embedded in the communication that we send out. So if you see parents who are supposed to drop off their student at the lower school and they're coming on campus at 7:25, your job as a parent and a community member to tell them, well, actually, your car line window is not that time. You should be coming on campus at this time. Does that make sense? So yes, I will be developing a communication. We will be developing windows. And yes, buses, as I will always say, always have the right of way on campus. So thank you for doing that. Yes, it's here we go.
So you're saying with if you have a child like Abby does in the lower school and the upper intermediate school, they're going to be two separate lines, and one line is going to be kids in both.
It's going to function. I believe it's going to function the way that it does now.
Okay.
One of my suggestions is to put them on the bus.
but what we wanted to do tonight is get some tentative times out because it is a shift. We're not in the weeds with the lanes and all that, and so that's why it's tentative. We're still working through it, so give us time to figure out the logistics. We figured it out better this year right, than in the past years, and we intend for it to improve, but tonight we wanted to get times out for planning purposes.
It's a less of a time frame, though. Like, there's 15 minutes, I think, between you can get to the intermediate school and lower school, but now like, there's a 5-minute difference in the end time.
So you do. So it depends on the grade that your child is in. I don't want you to know that I am, again, still in the process of creating those car line maps, because the way the buses are going to come on campus is going to change because of letting students outdoor side. So again, I do have a committee that if you would like to be on, where we do look at these different avenues. And I'm going to ask you both to be on that committee.
No, I
do, and that is true. The idea is to make it as efficient as possible. I only have two eyes, and my wife says I only use some of my listening skills. So your help is always needed. So
Evan, the way it is now is that intermediate car line starts at 7:45. And lower school car line starts at
7:45.
No. This is for next year.
Today.
But now lower school car line starts later. Correct.
Yes.
Right now it does. Yes. Okay. But not significantly, by like 5 minutes.
Okay.
It opens 5 minutes.
I mean, I see this as the lower school car line is going to move a lot faster.
That was my objective. Yes.
That's what I feel.
So
when you get out of that intermediate school car line, sometimes you wait a while. Now I don't think that weight is going to be that much.
Correct. Well, and what occurs now is lower school car line fills up almost to a point where it bottlenecks out, and then as soon as it opens up, then it starts to flow through. The idea is now it's going to open up, so there will be almost, I'm not going to say no cars, but there will only be 30 to 40 to 50 cars. We run about 275 to 310 cars daily through the lower school. So I think some of those kindergartners are driving themselves.
They're driving something.
I understand. So with that being said, the idea of this is to make it more efficient. So if you do have an idea of how to make it more efficient, the reason why lower school car line pickup is the way it is from a parent. It's actually due to the fact that a parent said, hey, Mr. Winter, do you think that it would function better this way? And I said, I don't know. Why don't we try it? And we spoke to a number of other people who had their eyes and ears on it too, and a number of administrators, and we pulled the trigger. It does. That lower school pickup in the afternoon, not only do teachers love it, but it is in and out. And the idea is to do that both with car line and with buses for next year, make it more efficient. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Good evening. Thank you, Evan.
Thanks, Evan.
Building plans update. Who, aside from Dimitri, is anybody going to speak on that? Building plans update. I think we can probably skip that. John?
And we're referring to building 23, I guess?
It says building plans.
All right, well, okay. Well, we have a couple projects that are actually in the process. The building elevator, that's planned for building 21. Okay, that's, and we've had deposits, you heard, by the finance department on the elevator, so that's going along. I understand the contractor has been working with the contractor and getting everything ready to start construction on that. And in regards to building 23, the facilities department has vacated all the areas in building 23 that are going to be occupied by classrooms. So the plan is to install 8 new classrooms, I should say 6 new classrooms in building 23, all of them being around a 700 square foot area, and taking down the wall between two rooms on the first floor in the front to make 2 large classrooms. So there'll be 8 classrooms in building 23. They're also going to be planning on making a large corridor hallway from the wing that, if you look at building 23, there'll be the wing on the right hand side, a corridor that goes down in preparation for the new gym too. We're ready for the demo to start. We kind of held off a little bit because testing is going on in the labs in building 23. So we didn't want to disturb the kids. We're pretty much ready for the work to start anytime. I attended the meetings with Dimitri and Denise and the architect and so forth. We're going to be putting up, demolishing the back wing of 23 on the right-hand side to facilitate the installation of 3 classrooms, and directly above it, 3 classrooms. So there's really not a lot, a lot of construction that needs to be put on, breaking out the offices, and then putting up some walls for the classrooms. I know there is a need to change HVAC units on the roof. I estimated 10 units served that section of the building. It's kind of a strange building. We usually, on the other buildings, we don't have that many on one end of a building, but there was 10 units that are in really, really bad shape. The original to the building was 30 years old. Some of them, we have one wrapped in roofing material because it leaks. So they need to replace at a cost around $110,000. So otherwise, I think we need to get started as soon as possible and get ready for the building. And in the gym, I really don't have too much information on the gym, but we have to keep in mind for everybody that the parking lot in front of building 23 is going to be gone. So there's 55 parking spots in front of that building. We use that area now for pickup and drop off and teachers. That entire parking lot in front of building 23 will be a gymnasium.
You're talking about the narrow parking lot, not the parking lot that everybody here parked in.
The narrow parking lot directly in front of 23.
Okay.
It's actually between the 21-22 building
and
across the street. That parking lot will be a 25,000 square foot gymnasium.
Yeah.
So all 55 parking spots are going to be one.
Now, one thing I'd like the board to consider, as well as maybe in the next talks with the construction, is the fact that we're going to have students walking from building 21 to building 23, high school students. Not that I don't trust the high school students, but the fact is they're going to walk in rain, snow, cold, and so what are the possibilities of getting a walkway or something? You know, they're going to walk across this road that people travel down, and we're talking, you know, academia, we're talking perhaps Ithaca at some point, so we need to think about the safety of our students, because teachers you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, the reason being is, I already talked about that.
Oh, good.
Okay, and I actually brought it up in our meeting with the architect and with Dimitri. The way the gymnasiums are going to be constructed, I wanted to align one of the doors in the gymnasium to align with the walkway between 21 and 22. Okay, so that the students have a less travel distance coming out of 21, 22 to get into the gymnasium. So they've actually came up with a plan. One of the doors that actually aligns is just off by maybe 3 or 4 feet, something like that. So they're going to make a small little sidewalk that's going to come out of the front of the gym, or if you're looking at Building 23, it'll come out of the front of the gymnasium. I'm thinking about doing a crosswalk, a curb cut, maybe a speed hump, and make it a crosswalk, and be able to get right into 21-22. So the travel distance between 21-22 coming out those doors, going into 23 in the gymnasium will be very short. Okay, and then we could even consider maybe putting a canopy up.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually proposed a canopy between the buildings and closing it in a year and a half ago when the kids were moving back and forth between the buildings. So we can even do some type of canopy out to the sidewalk. The other thing too is, in talking about safety, is a consideration is that long sidewalk between 21-22 that goes along the driveway.
Yeah.
The actual curb. Needs to be repaired. We were going to put a metal railing in so that the kids don't venture into the traffic, or it gives us a safety barrier between the sidewalk and the main traffic. And then we'll have a cut through to go across. But I didn't want to cut you short.
No, you're fine. I'm waiting for Brendan to jump in there.
But we've actually thought about that. I actually proposed that to the architect, and it actually laid out perfectly to give us some egress into the building 23 fairly recently.
Awesome. Thank you,
Don. So I just want to make two quick notes. First, we will not have a gymnasium for September. So we need to come up with at least a short-term affordable plan so that the students moving across from 21 to 23 can do so safely. And I think that we can figure out a relatively affordable way with some raised crosswalk or like speed bumps.
Yeah.
A, that we have to have something for September for the students to cross, not waiting for the gym to be built. You know, that's still TBD. The other piece is about the HVAC units. We have been talking with Karen and in our budget meetings about potentially tapping into the major improvements set aside that we've been putting money into every year that we have to per the bond covenant. And that may be an opportunity for that large cost that we'll be undertaking for those HVAC units in 23.
What? 300,000?
2%.
360. 360. 360.
And John, what did you say the potential cost would be?
For the HVAC?
Yeah.
I estimated 117,000 for 10 units, and actually the bid came in for 8 units for 110,000 around that area.
Okay.
Each year we pay into the fund.
Right, but we have to replace the fund plus.
We have to build it back up to what it was.
Yeah. We'll be giving ourselves an interest rate loan, essentially.
Basically,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it can only be used for major purposes.
For maintenance operations.
And you have 5 years to replace the funds. So you've got 5 years. You're in this coming year. You're in the fourth of the 600,000 fund requirement. And then once that's completed, all you have to do is plan it if you use it. But right now you're putting in 120,000. So when you read in your financial reports the 2.88 million that goes to the bonds. It says bond. The actual payment to the investors is 2.76, and the 120 adds to that to give the 2.88 that you're reading in the financial report. So there's 120 that stays with the trustee in an escrow account that can be requested.
And the biggest thing we have to be concerned about is once construction of the gym starts. Is we won't have the access into 23. We're going to have to redirect the students around to get into the front of building 23. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll have a fairly reasonable an entry built to allow us to get into 23 towards this end of the building.
Thank you, John.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, John.
You're welcome.
All right, any new business from anybody? I have one piece of new business, and I want to at least put this on everybody's radar, is that back in earlier this year, we approved an amendment to a contract for Ricardo that is ending at the end of June, and I want to throw it out there of potentially renewing that contract for a period of time. So I want to get the board's thoughts on that.
It's an annual contract, correct?
It's not an annual contract. I think the current term is probably 6 months, so probably another 6 months would be favorable. George and Renee, what would the financials be on that? Is that built into the budget for next year?
I gave you the job. It's $125 an hour.
Is the rate budgeted in?
What's that?
Is it budgeted in?
Yeah, that's essentially my question. I think it is. I just want to confirm that.
Yeah, it should be budgeted in for next year.
Okay. All right. So, we don't have to renew it fully tonight, but I would like to at least have some authority, or Dimitri, to talk to Ricardo and come to some terms. And so what I'd like is a vote from the board to essentially approve the idea of a renewal, and then provide whoever with some authorization to finalize those terms with Ricardo. Anybody have any comments?
Do you want to do it that way, or do you want to do it sort of authorize you to negotiate with a contract to be? Because I think it might make more sense to come back to the board with a recommended contract in June, which would still be before Ricardo's contract ends.
Sure.
And I mean, given the fact that the transportation is kind of well said, yeah, we need to kind of see what the needs of the school are. And the fact is that, you know, if we are in a tight budget, if Ithaca is stalled, we need to kind of look at what the needs for Ricardo are. At $125 an hour, you know, we need to set things in place and not have one individual person, you know, authorize this with Ricardo at this point.
So are you willing to negotiate?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And then Ricardo, we can work that out.
So I think the board needs to also kind of come to a consensus as what the needs are, and if they're not being met by the school, then what are the needs for Ricardo? What do we need him to do for us?
Can I ask your question?
Sure.
Just with regard to this contract, there's been a lot of really good work on the transportation end of it, and the Ithaca component is where it is right now. What is the drop dead timeline for next year, Ricardo? When do we have to know if it's a go?
For what?
For the program for next
Ithaca?
Year.
For Ithaca?
Yeah. Because I'm trying to, if we're talking about a contract.
It'll probably be around the same time as this year. That's when you have to go for your license, right?
Oh no. With the assumption that if construction is completed by the end of the year, everything gets anticipated. So we would not be looking at a major time frame. You would be building, I think, in the April, May, June time frame, you're recruiting staff. And that is a big, whoever does it, it doesn't have to be me, but whoever does it, I mean, you're basically going to have to go out of state to attract graduate aspiring prepared lead teachers, because it's much more cost effective than having to spend a huge budget in professional development to train teachers that have been trained by the traditional pipeline early education, but don't have the regiment's fire experience.
May I ask a follow-up question? Earlier, Ricardo, you said that no OCS capital would be used for the future, for future build-out of the LLC. So when you say build-out, are you referring specifically to
the fit-out?
The fit-out. So then my follow-up question is, who is going to, what other activities are going to be needed around the build, the rest of the program? So consulting, marketing, et cetera, all the money. You haven't built this into the budget, to my knowledge, so how do we see that happening?
That is a great question. I think the intent is to fundraise both for capital and operations so that that entity becomes independent. And so that the focus of any work that I would do would probably be contracted, for Odyssey would be contracted with Odyssey, should that occur. And it would be contracted with Ithaca.
But Ithaca is separate from Odyssey, am I correct in this assumption?
Yes.
So why is Odyssey paying you to do the work of Ithaca?
Because this year we did not have a, this year a separate entity was created, and this would work development work, just like Odyssey paid me to bring academia to this campus. Okay.
So true, but why are we paying you for next year to build Ithaca?
That's what I think.
That's not the intent, right?
That's not the intent. Okay. That's what I am saying, right?
So the consultation would not be about Ithaca, nor would it be about busing.
Oh, I don't know. You see, I don't know what the perceived needs are. Remember, I was hired by the board to assist the board and to assist the school. And I don't know what the board needs are. There may be, there may not be.
Right.
And I think that that's the conversation we have. Yes, the board has to have its own conversation. Administration needs to assess its potential needs.
So I do want to tap into this conversation. Are you going to also continue your work with the finances between the board and the underwriters of the loan,
the bond investors?
Like what they've been doing in the last few years, because that seems to be a very good partnership.
Yes, it's to be defined by the board. Once again, if the school builds the capacity, that work can be transitioned. Because at the end of the day, Karen Thorpe and myself, as consultants, have always been committed to support the building of the capacity of the school at all different levels.
Right.
Okay. So that intent is always there. The question is the timing of it and how the roles, are being played.
Well, at least through the final expansion of the school and the renovations until we become a K-12 unit, then at that point, then we can then reassess any needs.
That's the prerogative of the board in terms of how it chooses to allocate its resources to support critical initiatives.
Well, if I could make one comment, with regard to relationships with the investors, received the 1.4. They're sitting on 400,000 to 500,000. We've already gotten the bulk of it. So, in terms of appeasing the investors, I don't think we need three different people, Karen, Peter Savan, and Ricardo, to have one conversation on telephone for an hour every 3 months, consulting us, if I may be very honest about it.
I think it's worth having a conversation, if possible, between the administration and the board as to together.
We can have that conversation. And from where I'm sitting, I think that it's not completed yet. We're not done. And once we get to the K-12 as a point, and that the bondholders is still an ongoing concern, even though it dropped from a monthly meeting to a quarterly meeting, I don't want to risk any disruption in that relationship. And right now, we got a good thing going. And so any change right now, I would be a little apprehensive. And that's just where I'm coming from.
And I think that part of the consideration moving forward would be that needs assessment from the school, as Tammy suggested, the needs assessment of what needs to be done. And perhaps, Ricardo, you could create a page, I'm sure you have this already, detailing the things that you have done as well. So that way we can see where they match up and see where they further support each other. Does that sound all right in
sure.
what you might do?
Sure. So I think we need to at least, since Ricardo's contract ends at the end of June, I think we need to at least start the conversation about what that contract means.
For the verbiage in here, I kind of drafted something. Motion to authorize negotiation of contract proposal, including the needs of the school with regards to consultation.
Read it again, Lauren.
No. Motion to authorize negotiation of contract proposal, including the needs of the school with regards to consultation, including specific needs of the school, maybe.
So motion to authorize
negotiation of contract proposal. Right. So rather than just
who would contract talks?
Oh, I wasn't assigning a name yet.
Yeah,
maybe contract talks rather than proposal.
I didn't think there was a lot of difference.
I think you can just put motion to authorize negotiation of consultant contract.
Right.
I don't think you need all. I don't think you need
identified a committee or a person yet. Since we decided that.
Right.
I think I want to keep proposal in there just because it gives the idea that it's being presented as an idea. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, sure. And you can take.
Okay, I can get rid of this.
Someone want to make that motion?
Yeah, but who wants to be on?
I think it probably makes sense just that one person do it, and I'll take the bulk of that. I'll just talk to Ricardo, and bring a proposal back to the board.
Yeah, I think you should talk to the administration too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You need a motion?
Yeah.
I'll make the motion.
Do I have
to read it?
Motion to authorize negotiation of consultant contract proposal with Joe Wolcott, administration, and Ricardo.
So, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anything else under new business? Hearing none. Good of the school. This isn't mine. Anything for the good of the school? Okay.
I do want to speak a comment real quick. I want to welcome President of AHEPA, John Canitas, for joining us at the meeting today. Thank you, John, for coming.
And then we'll move into announcements / public comments.
Oh, I know how to do that.
Don't be shy.
Yeah, he's good. He's the second. John can ask the second.
It's only 9 o'clock. Nothing? Okay.
My bad.
It's Greek names also. Then do I hear a motion to adjourn?
No.
Oh, I thought that was going to be fun. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Wait, no.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sure. So it'll be as soon as we have a process. The board has a process. We're following that process, and at a duly noticed public meeting, those discussions will happen, and a decision will ultimately be made in the near future.
Okay.
Hopefully.
That's our hope.
That's our goal.
I have a question around the process, though. I know you can't discuss, but there has to be some structure to the process. You could give some details on
it. So, the board is
talking.
Yeah, so the board is talking.
Well, wait. I mean, I think there are some things we can say, right? So.
Yeah, that have been. So I wasn't at the April meeting. Okay. So there is a term sheet that has been formulated in conjunction with that the board has looked at and voted upon. It's not final yet. It's still going through that process, and it'll be discussed further it'll be discussed in public at the next board meeting. Maybe not the next regularly scheduled board meeting, but a duly appropriately scheduled board meeting.
Not sure everybody knows what a term sheet is.
So a term sheet is the start of a headmaster or head of school contract. Sure. Yes.
So are there applicants? Like, how does that work?
Right. Not at this time, because we just haven't had time to do that. But there has been, so to answer your question, no, there have not been. There have not been multiple applicants because there hasn't been a search committee. This board has not created a search committee. So to answer your question, no. Not at this point that proposition has been raised to the board. It hasn't been voted on. No motion's been made. So at this time, the answer is no. But there is a plan in place. There is a term sheet. That's a non-final term sheet.
Does the job have to be posted, like, legally? I'm just curious.
No.
I don't believe so. Go ahead.
Charter schools.
I would have you posted. But I could be wrong.
I don't think it has to be posted.
Okay.
Charter schools. What?
Okay.
Right.
What's that? Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I guess my question is that it sounds like there's a plan in place, but there are no applicants, but you have to
So we haven't...
And there's no search happening.
So we haven't made a decision. Back earlier this year, we made a decision to appoint Denise Parks as the... Give me the title.
Interim.
And so the plan of the board, the plan of the school, is to have, we're going to have a transition period. And so no formal search committee has been created. But in this time of transition, this term sheet has been created, and it's been designed to allow Denise Parks to enter into that role if we're able to all. It's got to be formally approved by the board in a public session. So that hasn't happened yet. So that's why I'm being a little...
Is Denise most likely going to be like the headmaster face in the fall?
That's the plan that's currently in place, yes.
Okay.
That's the intention. I'm not trying to be...
We're not being coy because we don't want to tell you.
Right. It's just there are legal issues that we have to, as a public body, that we have to comply with. And so that's why I'm being, but these meetings, these minutes, which will be posted on the internet, describe what happens in the public sessions that we've had so far. So they'll provide a little bit of color. And we'll plan on having more public meetings in June to finalize everything. So stay tuned.
So I just want to say, without being specific, that, and you'll see this when these draft minutes that we just approved get posted to the website, we understand how urgent this is to all of you. It's urgent to me as a parent in this school, and I think to all the board members, regardless of whether we have kids in this school. If it seems like this is going slowly, and I get that it is going slowly, it's not because we don't understand the urgency. It's just there are a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross. And I just want you to understand, like, we've had a lot of meetings up to this point. We have to have probably at least one more meeting before this all gets finalized. But we're working very hard on it. And we do understand that this is difficult for you to not know what's happening next year, and I appreciate that, but we are working really hard.
And if you want some idea of the scope of work, check out the call to order versus the adjournment time in those meetings. So it'll let you know we're trying really, really hard.
I just wanted to ask a question that people are asking me, and I don't know, but are we looking at a broader, are you able to comment about if the board is considering a broader restructuring of the school's officers and or administration? If you can comment about that.
Not at this time.
Yeah.
We're not considering that at this time.
Thank you.
Any other public comment, questions?
No. Hearing none?
We're waiting for something.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
I second.
Mike and Mike. No second.
Mike and Mike again.
Which one was first?
Mike and Mike.
I mean, Mike was first.